Hey everyone, welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick and I'm here with Pastors Bob Thune and Dusty White of Coramdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today we're continuing our conversation about how to be in a gospel community.
Yeah, part two. Let me lay down a concept to start this part of the conversation that I think will help give a framework, sort of like I did last time, just a big picture framework. What we're after in a gospel community is to create what I would call redemptive community. Creating redemptive community. In other words, a community, Dusty, I think you called it a container last week, or a context in which God's work of redemption can go forward. Here's the thing we need to embrace for that to happen. We have to understand that God uses, number one, the actual circumstances of our lives as the raw material for change. So the fight you're having with your spouse, the struggle you're having at work, the health scare that you have with your kids, that's all the raw material that God is using in your life to conform you to the image of Christ. That raw material is different for every person in the room, but we have to believe, because God is the sovereign creator of the world, that He means to use the circumstances and situations of our lives to grow us up in Christ. So we have to have that conviction. And secondly, that He does that in the context of relationships, that how He is redeeming us and forming us into Christ-likeness is in the context of relationships with other people, because relationships are the foundational reality of our lives. We're born into them. We can't exist without them. Even God Himself is in relationship. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. So when we buy into the conviction that the circumstances of life are the raw material of change, and God is using the relationships in our world as His means of redeeming us and growing us in Christ and helping us apprehend the gospel more deeply, now we have an understanding or a baseline for why redemptive community matters. And so we can start to get into the question of, okay, if redemptive community is what we're trying to build, what's that going to require? Last week we talked about being present, showing up. We talked about expectation, being expectant that the Lord is at work. And we talked about hospitality, making space, making room for one another. So let's take the conversation forward this week, guys. What are three or four additional values, convictions, practices of what we need to cultivate to be in a gospel community and create a healthy, redemptive, life-giving kind of rhythm and community together?
I think the first one is leading out of our own repentance. As a gospel community leader, I've experienced, we talked about the times where God really shows up. When I have stepped out and I've acknowledged, like, hey, I'm not above what we're talking about. I need the gospel just as much as anybody else in the room. And so when I kind of lead out with my own sin, my own struggles, how, you know, there's one night where Jenny and I were in a live argument, and we hit one of the guys that was leading discussion. I said, hey, you guys seem to be struggling here. Do you want to talk about that? So we kind of, you know, came clean in front of everybody about what we were arguing about. And that was a really fruitful time for our group, because Mike and Jenny, need the gospel just as much as we do. That's kind of like what people felt like. And so, I don't know, that was good. That's always good for a leader to be able to step out and say, hey, here's where I struggle too. Here's where I sin too.
And really not just the official leader of the group, but everyone who really is committed to the core, to the mission, in the sense of, hey, if I am being open and leading in my, through my own repentance, then that creates the culture that lays the foundation that this is safe, in the sense that this is what we do. This is acceptable. This is, people are going to respond to me with grace and correction where I need it. We can have a live fight as mm-hmm. a spouse, like mm-hmm. right there. And people will go, what are you doing? How dare you do that? But engage that well. And so if everyone is committed to that, it actually has the effect of kind of stirring one another towards, being open and repentance and inviting people in.
Dusty, you used the language a minute ago of hovering above the group versus being present in the group. And sometimes leaders, I think, feel like our job is to be competent. And so we sort of hover above the conversation and manage it. Everybody else are the ones having the conversation. And actually, that's the opposite of good leadership. Good leaders lead out of the real realities of their own souls and invite other people to do the same.
Yeah. I think key to leadership is always whatever question you're asking right now of the group, you better have an answer for it. Mm. So don't expect authenticity. Don't expect honesty. Don't expect people to share their lives with you if you're not willing to share yours. But I also think that that means as a participant in this group, I got to remember that my leader is just a member of this group.
Yeah. Huge.
Because that leader just needs just as much care, just as much help, just as much formation as the people in the group.
And how, I think this is a good question. If you are in a gospel community, you're not the leader, are you cultivating the kind of environment to where a leader can come into the group and say, hey, tonight, guys, I need you to care for me. You know, in some sense, where the leader's confident in that because of the way that everybody else in the group engages.
And I think it's helpful to have the categories here of sins of omission and commission, because I think sometimes... for like newer Christians, younger Christians, the focus is always sins of commission. So here, you know, here's the anger I have. Here's the lust I have. Here, like the focus on like places where I need transformation tends to be sins of commission. And sometimes for Christians who have walked with God longer, they feel like, well, man, by the grace of God, I've overcome some of those things. And so what does it mean for me to lead out of my own life? Well, it's been helpful for me to say, hey, you guys, like my prayer life sucks. Like my sin is omission. I'm just like, I didn't pray for any of you guys this week. So like, I know we go around and share prayer requests, but man, I guess what? I ain't prayed a lick for you guys. And like, that's sin. Like, that's me failing to love the Lord and love you. And I just want to acknowledge, like, that's genuine, real repentance. That's not, you know, like, those things are meaningful. And so I think it helps to open up the categories. Like, you don't all have to be struggling with the same things. The beauty of, well, the ugliness of sin is it affects all of us differently. And the beauty of repentance is when we have both those categories, things I've done that I shouldn't have done and things I'm not doing, lack of obedience or conformity to the will of God that I need to pursue, that just means, man, there better always be something for me to repent of and for me to be needing the grace of God in my life. Because if there's not, it just means I'm blind. It doesn't mean I'm sanctified, because what the scriptures teach us is until we hit glory, man, there's always places in our lives where we're going to need the grace of God at work.
Yeah. And as a participant in the group with you, then now I just realized, oh, you didn't pray either this week. Oh, you just humanized yourself. So you don't have to have it all together. We can do that here. And so, like, as a leader, you're setting the tone there. And now you change the culture here for a minute, or you set the culture.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to a second one, Mike, because I think this is where I don't like where this conversation tends to go. Is anytime we talk about honesty and authenticity and leading out of repentance and leading out of vulnerability, everybody assumes that, oh, what a gospel community must be is like a group where everybody just shares how much everything sucks and how they're not walking with the Lord, and there's all these places in their lives where they're struggling and suffering. And do we want a gospel community to have space for that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also, man, I hope it's a place where we can share, like, man, here's awesome things God is doing in my life. Here's places where I've just seen God's grace. Here's where I'm so excited right now about what God's doing. Here's where, man, I came alive in worship this week because of this thing or this song or this message or this, you know, here are places where I can celebrate what God's doing. And if we're not doing that, then our group probably isn't a gospel community. It's probably a lament community, or maybe it's a half of the gospel community.
Yeah,
that's only the dark
group.
Half, right?
Yeah.
Only the half that has to do with God's redeeming of us out of sin, but not the part that has to do with Him growing us in Christ.
Yeah, the two things that we say a lot are repent and rejoice. And that I'm really good at, like, being aware of how I fail. I'm not so good at being aware of the joys in my life. And so asking the question, hey, what's God doing in me and in you, and what's evidence of God's grace, has been really helpful to me to practice that rejoicing, and not just rejoicing about things in my own life, but sharing in the rejoicing of others in the community.
And speaking joy and rejoicing to others. I think the people that are most life-giving me, the people that can look across the room and be like, hey, Chris, I'm so excited about that with you and for you, man. I've been praying for that in your life. Like, they're genuinely celebrating something that someone else is experiencing. Those people are really life-giving to a group. If all you have are the people that want to talk about all the crap, that's good, but that's only half of what authenticity looks like. You've also got to have people that are like, man, I'm rejoicing in the Lord with you about that good thing you just shared.
Yeah, if there's no gospel in the gospel community, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's key. If your gospel community doesn't have any hope with it, man, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
I'll stick it out for a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, but man, this thing's getting dark quick. We need some hope, and the gospel's full of hope.
Yeah, that's redemption. Like, hope is the other side of redemption. Like, we look to Christ for redemption because he is the source of hope. He is our hope.
And one of my favorite things we did last year as a gospel community around Christmas time was we just had a Christmas carol sing. We had someone in our group that played the piano, and so we just gathered around the piano and just sang songs for 30 minutes. I mean, it was a really good way to rejoice, you know, and just in a different way. Like, that wasn't like sharing out of our stories and out of our lives and out of scripture, but it was just like singing songs of joy at the incarnation. It was like, man, that was a really rich moment for, I think, all of us, because it was just a different sort of rejoicing. So I think at seasonally appropriate times, you know, having a whole night devoted to prayer, or a whole night devoted to singing together, or a whole night devoted to sharing just evidences of grace. Guys, what should we be celebrating in each other's lives? Make sure that's a pretty consistent rhythm.
I think it's helpful if we talk a little bit here about the difference between asking questions and being genuinely curious.
Oh, don't start preaching now, Dusty. Mm-hmm.
Because
don't start preaching that sermon.
Pastor Dusty!
So, like, if Mike...
Say more about that.
If Mike shares something, I can ask a follow-up question because I want facts, or... In the moment while he's sharing, I can decide, I love Mike. He's my brother. I want to know what the Lord's doing there. And so I'm now curious. So there's a difference between facts and being genuinely curious. Here's what I mean.
Yeah, go.
My wife has been sick recently, and so everybody asks me all the time.
How's your wife doing? Hey, how's your wife doing? Give me some facts.
I don't even know some of these people, okay? Which is fine, because there's a little bit of a public life here, but some people don't know what to say sometimes. So they'll just say, how's your wife doing? And then there's people that have seen me or my wife and they start weeping and they're like, I can't imagine what you're going through right now. What is it like? And I'm like, okay, well, that's different. So I'm not saying you got to come weep with me. I'm just saying there's a difference between asking for facts and information and being genuinely curious about somebody's life. And our gospel communities are full of fact checking and gathering, because some people just want to know information about people versus, man, I'm in this with you. What's it look like? What's God doing? What's he up to? Where are you rejoicing? Where are you suffering? Like, all that stuff it's totally different.
Yeah. Mm. And that goes back to what we said last week with presence and expectation.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have that sense of being present in what they're actually going through, and in the sense of, hey, I want to see where the Lord's at work. I want to see where you're hurting, like, and just trusting and knowing that God is at work there changes the way that I'm not just looking for kind of information and just kind of the data, but the story, the lived in experience. So if my presence doesn't carry a sense of, you know, expectation and engagement, I'm never going to ask you genuinely curious questions.
Right. Yeah, I learned this from some of my counseling friends, and they, because you got to have facts to be able to help people, right? Like, you got to have facts to be able to be in their story with them. But there's a difference between asking a fact question because it's going to actually be helpful and you're going to do something with that and somebody will give it to you, versus like maybe just not saying anything. So maybe you don't need to ask any questions right now. Maybe you just actually need to be the person in the GC that's quiet for a minute. I think this is also true about how the scripture comes out. So like, if somebody has something going on in their life, you could just drop verses on them. But my friend Mike Wilkerson says that when the Bible comes out, it ought to have flesh on it. And so scripture should be meeting people where they're at, not just like verses that have facts on them laid over their story.
Tell me some of what that would look like real time.
So like, for instance, if somebody's anxious, there's somebody struggling in your group with anxiety, what you could do in the moment is say, hey, Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. But it's so like, that's the verse that comes to mind for every Christian on anxiety, which is true, right? Like, so it's Pauline gospel, but maybe what would be helpful there is Peter that says, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord because he cares for you. Mm-hmm. So a difference there would be, here's a person who's struggling with anxiety. If I tell them not to struggle with anxiety, I just used a biblical command on them, that probably just ratcheted their anxiety up. Because now it's bad. Mm. It's not just, they're not just anxious. Now it's like, now it's wrong to be anxious. That's not helpful. But man, let me think about that for a minute. And if I have scripture to share with you, I'm hopeful in this scripture and sharing it with you. I want this to be helpful to you, not burden you. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think just being genuinely curious in gospel community is key, because it also helps you love people. So like, because our gospel communities are full of people that we like and some we don't like, and some people we wouldn't be in community with if it wasn't for gospel community. Mm-hmm. But by being genuinely curious for people in my gospel community, it helps me love them and engage with them all the time.
So here's another category. This one might be a little more difficult to kind of wade through, but experience I've had multiple times in GC is somebody expresses some, maybe a hurt, maybe a pain, maybe a place where they're anxious. And kind of to your point, Dusty, someone doesn't like that they're feeling, like in the room, someone is obviously anxious, obviously hurting, and it's really uncomfortable. And so the person rushes in and tries to rescue them from that moment. And what it does is sort of like short circuit.
I'll be your Jesus.
Yeah, like the Lord is actually, they need to sit in this for a moment. And so I think sometimes in our desire to care for people and love them well, we rescue them out of their pain in very unhelpful ways. And so I think another way to help be helpfully in gospel community is don't be Jesus.
You know, don't
stop trying.
Yes,
take people to Jesus. But so I think for those, you know, those of you that you know you have this tendency to kind of rush in and try to rescue people out of, you know, a place of being uncomfortable or a place of anxiety or hurt or tears, that, you know, taking a step back and saying, why do I feel this temptation? And what's going on in my own soul that is getting me to run at them? And so, Dusty, I'm just curious what you would have to say towards that, because I'm sure you have some thoughts.
Yeah, people don't like discomfort, right? So, like, I don't like my own pain. I don't like your pain. What can I do to get out of this situation? And so I think what's helpful here is to realize the goal for the friends who took the paralytic to Jesus was, we're going to do whatever it takes to get this person to Jesus. We're going to rip off the roof. We're going to lower him down. But they realized, man, we're not going to help this guy. Like, this guy needs the Lord. So I think it's just I think it's just helpful to realize you're not the savior. They're in this pain. They're in this suffering. They're in whatever circumstance they're in. And God did not sleep on that. So you don't have to wake him up for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and something I think I learned this from you, Dusty, or from my wife who learned it from you, is just responding to people with, hey, thanks for sharing that. Like, I don't have to come up with something to say right now to medicate your pain. I can just say, hey, man, I really appreciate you sharing that, Chris. Thanks. Yeah. You know, and just genuinely thanking you, and that you might still be in tears right now, and I might not have anything comforting to say, or I might not know what to say, but just expressing gratitude for what you shared, I think in a way does allow me to respond in some way that's not trying to be the savior or fix the situation, but that's just saying, hey, I appreciate you sharing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the Lord's doing in that, but thanks for letting us in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's really good, because you don't want to be making stuff up, because people can smell if you're being genuine or not, right?
Yeah,
and we're gonna say smell your BS, but I don't know if we can say it on this podcast.
Yeah, and I think my concern in raising this and is because in a lot of ways, one, there's sort of two ends to it, and so going back to the category, Bob, of people in need of change, helping people in need of change, is that there's two ends to this. One is the person that is needing to experience the grace of God and comfort of God in whatever situation, and when we run to rescue, we're actually anchoring them in ourselves more, and they're not learning and being discipled to take that to Jesus. And sometimes taking something to Jesus means you have to sit in your discomfort. Yeah. I know it's easy to say on a podcast. The other side is the how we are discipling people. Remember, what you disciple them towards is you're going to get the fruit of that. And so if what is it in your own soul that the Lord is trying to teach you where you can sit and trust them and say, thank you for sharing that. And what that means for me is I have to entrust this person to the Lord, and I can't do anything. And so there's discipleship on my end too. And so you have the Lord working change on both ends. So recognize, you know, this to some degree the Lord is doing something in you too, and he's trying to teach you something. Yep. Hey, I got this. and so this can become an unhelpful dynamic in gospel community. And so it's not just a minor thing. And you can see where the change that we're after, the redemptive community that we're after, gets short-circuited if we're all being rescuers.
Good.
Yeah, that's good. And we all have those people in our gospel communities who are the first ones to speak, right? So like Chris, you're saying like, you know, if I throw this out there and Bob says, hey, thanks for sharing that, it's because you just gave him a gift. So like you just shared with him something that he didn't necessarily have the right to, but you gave him a gift with that information. And so he's got to do something. He can't just be quiet. So at least he can say like, man, thanks for sharing that. But if he doesn't have anything genuine to say, that's all he should say. But we all have those people in the gospel community who come right out with all these platitudes and with everything that they think you need to hear. And I think it's important for the culture of the gospel community or the leader of the gospel community, somebody to say, hey, was that helpful? Meaning if Bob didn't say just thanks for sharing that, and he went on with, maybe he gave you verses because that's what you needed in the moment. Maybe you just needed truth. But if he just started giving you advice, I think it's important to go, was that actually helpful? Because now I just turned the conversation to something that we're all feeling, which is it wasn't that helpful.
Mm-hmm. So this gets me into another practice for how to be in a gospel community, how to build a redemptive community, is setting some ground rules. I think this probably falls to the leader or the people in the core of that gospel community kind of do, but I like to just, everybody, you have to realize everybody enters into a group with some implicit expectations of what it's supposed to be like, right? What are the rules what are the rules for this group? It's sort of like, you're anytime you play a sport, you at least pretend like you know what the rules are, and then you just figure out, I guess if I haven't played this before, somebody will tell me if I'm wrong here. But because of that, it's important to say, hey, here's how we want conversations to work here. And I think like just in the early stages of a gospel community, having a conversation for 15 minutes and say, hey, let's just talk about what we want conversation to look like here. It's okay to be in process. It's okay not to have answers. Mm. It's okay to share what's really going on. Like laying down some ground rules so that when that happens, Dusty, it's not an awkward moment, but I can go back to like, hey, guys, remember one of the ground rules we said is like, if we don't have to have answers tonight. And so it's okay. Like if we walk out of here just like thankful that you shared and not sure what to say next, that's all right. You know, because I think what you're going to experience in a healthy gospel community is conflict, tension, interpersonal strange dynamics, right? Like you said, Dusty, we're only in the room together because we all follow Jesus. It's not like we're here because we would have chose each other out of a lineup, right? Like this is an eclectic group of people.
Yeah, we're not playing dodgeball here.
Yeah. And so what that means is, man, there's going to be some people that like I don't deeply resonate with. There's going to be some people that might be abrasive to me or I might be abrasive to them. And we're going to have to learn what it means to walk with the Lord together. And that's going to require real conversations and honest conversations and, you know, sorting out conflict and difficulty. And the only way we can do that in a healthy way is to have some ground rules to say, hey, man, we want this to be real. We want this to be honest. And here's how we want to relate to one another so that when we need to have conversations or when we need to enter into conflict, we can do that in a meaningful way and in a way that doesn't feel threatening to people. It doesn't feel like, oh, crap, this group just went off the rails. Like, because that's what's funny is, like, if you don't set any ground rules and then you enter into a conversation or a discussion where there's some more conflict or iron sharpening iron or people disagreeing with each other, it feels to everybody like the group just went off the rails. Like, holy crap, you guys are disagreeing. This is not how a Bible study is supposed to go, man. We just give the right answer and go home, right? But if you've set it up, like, no, man, part of what we value here is honesty. And so we want the real you. And look, I try to say this as often as I can. Look, I'm going to let you guys down. I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect Christian. I'm not a perfect leader. And so, like, there's going to be nights where I'm just, like, not all here and I'm not showing up and I'm not fulfilling my responsibilities. And so, like, you're free to tell me when you feel that and when you see that. And just creating that context, I think, allows people to go, okay, good. So when things feel tense, that's part of what we're after here. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It might be a weird thing if I've been in a family where we just all say nice things to each other and don't ever fight. Mm-hmm. But I can embrace it as a good and healthy thing.
So redemptive community that you talked about earlier, Bob, is different than any other community that I'm a part of, right? It's different than book club. It's different than everything else. And so it's distinctly Christian. And to be Christian means to be rooted in Scripture and in prayer. yeah, tee that up a little bit when it comes to gospel community.
Yeah, that's a good way to land this podcast, is to say you can't have redemptive community unless the Bible is at the center. So we say a gospel community is not a Bible study, but the Bible better very much be at the heart of the conversation you're having. And what that, so here's what that requires and demands of you. It demands a better and deeper knowledge of the scriptures than you can get away with at a Bible study. Because what it requires is that you're interacting with the scriptures such that, Dusty, when you share, hey, here's what my wife and I are going through, I at least have some passages coming to mind of like, here's some places I could go to help bring some comfort, or to help ground you in some promises, or to speak a word of encouragement. If it's just like, hey, man, pat you on the shoulder, I'm sorry that you guys are facing like that. Anybody can do that. Anybody at the mall can pat you on the shoulder. Hey, man, I heard your wife's not feeling well. I'm sorry about that, right? But man, if I can go to someplace in the Psalms, someplace in the gospel, and say, hey, man, I'm praying for you guys, and here's a promise that came to mind as you were sharing that just I want to encourage you with, right? That now I'm using scripture in a more meaningful way, mm-hmm. and in a in the moment kind of a way. That's the way we need to be using the Bible, is grounding our exhortation, our rebuke, our challenge, our encouragement, and our whole conversation in the raw material of the scriptures. And so it requires, if you're in, I guess what I'm saying, that if the point of this podcast is how to be in a gospel community, here's what I'm going to give you permission. If you're in a gospel community and it goes 2 or 3 weeks and you feel like we haven't even talked about the Bible here, you are free to throw a flag next week and go like, hey, when are we going to actually open the Bible here? Let's stop sharing platitudes. Let's stop sharing advice. Let's stop talking about our feelings and let's get into the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Because this is the challenge, is like we're always sort of walking between these two ditches. One ditch is Bible study, where it just becomes informational and not transformational. But the other ditch is therapy group, where it just becomes, let's just share what's going on, but we're never grounding it and being rebuked by scripture. Because honestly, like the part of the problem with our thinking is it's faulty and it's flawed and it's sinful. And we do need it to be redeemed and reformed by the truth of scripture. And so a gospel community is not therapy and it's not a Bible study. It's sort of, it's neither but both, right? It's the Bible bringing about change in the context of community.
And what this means then is that your personal Bible reading is never just for you.
Oh, yeah, preach that. Oh,
come on, Chris.
That if you're reading scripture, that is not just, that is also for those in your gospel community. And so when you're reading and you're praying, you're communing with the Lord, if you're not praying this, hey, Lord, how can this be an encouragement to my brother and sister? Mm-hmm. How could I share this in gospel community? I'd encourage you, add that to your time, because that's what the Lord is going to be using that time of you being in the Word to do exactly what you said. I have to pull this well of scriptures from you know, my mind and my experience with the Lord. And so it really changes the way you engage scripture personally when you recognize, for me to be in gospel community well means that my devotional time is for my brothers and sisters too.
That's super helpful. I do want to say, if you're not a Christian or you're a new Christian and you're like, oh man, now I got to know my whole Bible before I go to gospel.
Nope, you just get to show up.
Be exactly where you're at. Don't fake it. Don't be that person. But yeah, it's super helpful to realize, man, and this goes back to what I said earlier, when scripture should be coming out, it should also have flesh on it. It should be helpful. I was with a guy recently and he was saying, yeah, we met specifically for coffee and prayer. And he was sharing with me, he was in Colossians, and then we started talking about how to pray for each other. And then he went into this thing and I was like, oh, that actually reminds me of Colossians 3. And so there was just this connection there since he was in Colossians already. And so like, that's just friends meeting up and praying together, but that should be happening in our gospel communities as well.
It doesn't have to be, by the way, if your gospel community is engaging a text of scripture together. So like the book of Jonah, which we've been doing recently at Coram Deo, as our gospel communities. It doesn't have to be everybody brings their own thing, though that should filter into it, Chris. But it should also be like, hey, here's how the text of Jonah 4 is challenging me personally, right? Yeah, yeah. It's not, oh, it's cool because Jonah 4 makes me think of this other person who needs to hear this, right? But it's like, here's where God's working on me from this text and how I need to like repent, believe, grow, rejoice as a result of this.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's podcast, which is brought to you by Signature Soy Cinnamon Pumpkin Muffin Candle. If your house smells and you have gospel community in your house, get some of this Cinnamon Pumpkin Muffin Candle.
Maybe they'll pay us.
It'll make your house smell like fall. If you have questions or insight about gospel communities and how we should be in gospel community, shoot us an email, podcast@cdomaha.com. And we hope that you join us next week for another Wednesday conversation.